I'd like us to turn for our short reading to the letter to Jude, the letter to Jude in the New Testament. Second to last book, just before Revelation. I know Gordon spoke about this last Sunday. He spoke about the last verse as part of the great joy that one day will be ours. I wanted to take some of the verses which come just before the end, so we're not going to go over the same passage. Just to set the scene, we'll read verses 1 and 2, and then we'll go down to verse number 17. So it's Jude, it's only one chapter, so it's verse number 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Down to verse 17. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. The verse I want to speak about is verse number 20. That's my text for this evening. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. The week before last, I had my performance management interview at the school. I had to sit with the head teacher, and we had to look at my targets that I had been set for last year and whether or not I had achieved them. And we had to think about my targets for next year, 2014. Really, she should be setting the targets, but she kindly allowed me to set my own targets. And I can assure you, I didn't choose very difficult targets this year. So I think I will be all right at the same time next. But I thought it's helpful to set targets, isn't it? It concentrates our mind. It helps us to focus on things that might be important. And it seemed to me that verse number 20 gives us four targets that we could bear in mind for our Christian life and experience in 2014. Because I'm very aware that this is the last Sunday in 2013. The new year approaches fast. And so I thought it would be helpful just to set out these four targets for us and to think briefly about them this evening. As Gordon reminded us last week, the letter to Jude was written as a warning. In verses 3 and 4 of the letter, he writes to his dear friends. He says, I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, but I felt I had to write an urging to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. So there were these false teachers coming in. They were preaching immorality, I guess, as Paul dealt with in some of his letters, that it doesn't matter how you live because God's grace will cover all that we do. And Jude wants to warn these believers not to be taken in, to see these teachers for who they really are and to warn them of the judgment that awaits them. And so verse 20 comes to us as a contrast. There's the but you, dear friends. And so he gives them these four pieces of advice, which I trust we can take as targets that we could aim for in 2014. Someone has put it another way, that these four words of advice are like four walls of a castle. And if we were to follow those and put them around us, then we would be able to have that spiritual insight to identify what's false doctrine and to live the sort of life that we're asked to live in the New Testament. So let's just briefly look at these four different pieces of advice, and I would suggest I'd like you to take them up as a target for 2014. The first one was, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. Well, as soon as we read those words about building, we think about the metaphor of construction, don't we? Of buildings, of building up, of a foundation being laid and a building being constructed on it. If the building is going up, it's speaking of growth and progress, of things happening, of things moving on. And if we're building ourselves up in our most holy faith, it will speak of progress, it will speak of growth, it will speak of things happening in our lives. What should our foundation be? Well, we're all well taught, so we perhaps don't need to have that teaching, but just to remind you of Ephesians 2:20, it says, "We are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone." So however we start, it's got to be there. It's got to be building our lives on that foundation. And the stress in this verse about building up in your most holy faith is not just our personal faith, but perhaps it's the faith once for all delivered, as he said in verse number 3. That body of doctrine, of teaching, that represents the Christian faith as opposed to any other sort of faith. It's that that he wants us to build up in, that we might know more and more of what we believe and why we believe and how it affects us in our behavior day by day. What then can we do that will build us up in our most holy faith? Well, I've got some ideas, and you could probably come up with some for yourself. We can come to the meetings, can't we, that are arranged here, whether it's the all-age service, or the more teaching aspect of the Word and Worship, or the Bible study that we have in our house groups. Opportunity to get to know what the Scripture says, to understand what it says, and to how we might apply it to our everyday lives. That's a great way of building up our most holy faith. We could study the Bible for ourselves at home, and I hope that we do. We could memorize scriptures that will help us to understand what the Scriptures has to say and to bring it to our minds. We can read helpful and sound Christian books. All ways of building ourselves up in our most holy faith. We have to say, of course, that it's also good to have the support of a local fellowship, as we have here. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Encourage one another and build each other up." Build each other up. So that what we're to do in the fellowship is to be supportive and encouraging. There may be times when discipline will be necessary. There may be times when we have to tell people they're going the wrong pathway in terms of their behavior. That's all part of the building up, isn't it? It's all part of putting the bricks in the right order so that there is something positive and worthwhile out of their lives. What we need to be careful of is that we don't just take building up our most holy faith as knowing a lot, but never practicing it. In 1 Corinthians 8 verse 1 it says, "Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up." And I think some of us who are more academically minded need to be a bit careful about that. We enjoy reading the books, we enjoy reading our Bibles, we enjoy learning more. The trouble is, if we're not careful, it just stays in our heads, but never gets to our hearts. And what we know about our Christian faith should transfer from up here to down here, and then out to these as well, shouldn't it? It should be worked out in practice. We need to remember, don't we, that all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Not everything I do is necessarily helpful or constructive. But we need to be selective in the things that we do that might build up our faith. So we can think of building up as being in like construction, built on a foundation and adding to it and progressing and coming to more knowledge and more experience in the Christian faith. But we might also talk about building up in strength, don't we? If you've been ill for a long time, you may think, well, I need a tonic. I need something to build me up. And of course, if you've been ill and you haven't had much of an appetite, then you need to eat the right things to help you build up your strength again. And so it should be with us. We should be building up our spiritual strength, growing as Christians, and to do that we need the right food to build ourselves up. And of course Paul said to the Ephesian elders, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace which can build you up. So we see the scriptures as the word of his grace for us. And it's important that we study them and make them our own. It's interesting it talked about our most holy faith, wasn't it? Our most holy faith. I wonder if sometimes we're a little bit presumptuous. We take it all for granted. We don't realize the status of this doctrine that we have come to believe. And I'm using doctrine in the widest sense. It's my personal faith, but it's also that body of doctrine that has been passed down to us by the apostles and appears for us in the New Testament. It's most holy because our faith is different, isn't it? Different to other so-called faiths. Our faith is not man-made, but God-given. It's not the opinion of men, but the revelation of God. And of course, that faith that we believe has the power to make those who believe it different. Someone has said, it's not only a mind changer, it's a life changer. And so we have this most holy faith that we're to build ourselves up in. To make progress, to be growing, to be making differences in our lives from one year to the next. To know more, to experience more, to trust God more, to move forward and to build ourselves up. The second piece of advice, the second target is pray in the Holy Spirit. Now I don't think that means praying in tongues, as people call it, but recognizing that we need the help of the Holy Spirit when it comes to prayer. And perhaps I would put the emphasis on the pray. Pray. How many of us could say, actually, my prayer life is 100% as I want it to be? Probably not many of us. So here's a target for 2014. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Of course, our prayers, as we know, should be mature, not childish and selfish. But we do have the help of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 says, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. We are given every encouragement in the Scriptures to pray. In Ephesians 6:18 it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Nothing missed out there, is there? Nothing that's out of bounds. Nothing we can't bring to God in prayer. In all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. How about making more prayer a target in 2014? The third piece of advice is keep yourself in God's love. Keep yourselves in God's love. This to me is a rather striking phrase. Surely if God's love is of his grace, how can I do anything to keep in it? Well, I think we mustn't think that Jude thinks that it's all to do with us and nothing to do with the Lord. He's very aware that it's the Lord that keeps us. We had that in verse number one. To those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. Verse 24, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you. So it's not God's keeping that's at fault. He's not saying keep yourself in God's love because sometimes you can be in it and sometimes you can be out of it and sometimes you're saved and sometimes you're not. He's not saying that. What I think he's getting at is that we have been brought into the sphere, the environment of God's love. We've entered into a relationship of love with him. But his side of the relationship doesn't need any working at. He will always love us. What about on our part? Well, the Lord has some words to say about this, didn't he? He says in John 15, so have I loved you. That's his side. And then there's our side. Now remain, he says, or abide, or continue in my love. That's our part, isn't it? We need to stay in that relationship with him. We need to do our bit to keep ourselves in the sphere of God's love. How can we do that? How can we remain in his love? Well, he says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. I think this gives us the clue. We're keeping God's love when we are obeying the commands that are laid down for us. When we're living righteous and godly lives. Now these false teachers had fallen out of the sphere of God's love. In fact, according to verse 19, they do not have the Spirit. They were never true believers. The other thing we can do is not only live righteous and godly lives, but develop our love for God in worship and praise and thanksgiving. We can appreciate Him more. And that might mean making time to think more, to meditate, to move forward in our thinking about what God means to us. I think an example of someone who didn't keep himself in the love of his father was, of course, the prodigal son. The father always loved the son, but the prodigal son went his own way, didn't he? He took himself out of the sphere of his father's love by going into that far country and doing his own thing. He came, of course, to himself and returned to the sphere of the father's love. We need to stay close to God. We need to have a living and vital relationship with the one who we say is our Lord and Savior. We don't want to be going off on our own. We don't want to be thinking that we know it all and that's it and we're just going through the motions. We need to actively promote that we stay in relationship with God and with the Lord Jesus. And lastly, fourth of these words of advice was looking or waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. This is the future prospect that we all have, and we should live in the light of it, says Jude. We should be looking, we should be waiting expectantly. Our faith is a faith full of hope, and that should encourage us to go on in the things of the Lord, even when it's difficult. And I love that little phrase, to bring you to eternal life. I like to think of me taking, Daniel's hand and leading him into the house or something like that. I bring him into the home. Almost the picture is of the Lord Jesus bringing us, taking us by the hand when the time comes, and taking us into the glory that is eternal life. We have to do nothing. He's going to take us there himself. So that, as he promised, where he is, there we shall be also. I think there's a balanced pattern here for Christian living. There are targets that we can seek to work out. Our Christian life should be founded on faith and hope. Love, or we can remind ourselves the doctrine, the prayer, the experience, and the hope. When I have to set my targets for next year's performance, the buzzword that we have to use is they have to be SMART targets. And SMART is like an acrostic. In case you need to know it at any time, they have to be, I wrote it down, specific, measurable, assignable, realistic, and time-related. When the targets are set, I was always told you should start with a verb, a doing word, rather than a being word. We've got four doing words here we can set as our targets for 2014. Build, pray, keep, wait. Can you take all of those targets on board for 2014? Or is it one of them that you can work on? So that this time, at the end of 2014, we can say, I have been built up in my faith. We can say, I have been praying in the Spirit. We can say, yes, I have kept myself in the sphere of God's love. And yes, the coming of the Lord seems more real to me, and I'm waiting for that day. See him, and I can praise him for who he is. I commend these words of advice to each one.